God doesn't wait just till the end of the year to give a prophetic word. You know, I kind of think the body's Christ. Well, you ain't got no prophetic word till the end of the year. Come on, give it to us in November or December. No, God continues to speak. This prophetic word today, I know, is going to bless your life. I need heads bowed, eyes closed, and believers praying now. Very quickly now, you saw it on the screen earlier where it talked about rededicating your heart back to God. It talked about being born again. It talked about church membership, all of those. I believe God brings people into his house and into the company of believers for a special time just like this. And what I want to do right now, I just want to pray for you. You say, I'm not a Christian, but I want to be. Not right with God, but I want to be right with God. I don't know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Man of God, right where you're seated, I'm not going to embarrass you. That's why I got heads bowed, eyes closed. Right where you're seated, would you just slip your hand up quickly? Include me in the prayer. Not a Christian, but I want to be. Not right with God, but I want to be right with God. Don't know if I, for sure, if I died, I'd go to heaven. Just include me in the prayer all over the building. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed, believers are praying, I will see your hand, but more importantly, God does. Amen. You may put your hand down. Second appeal is for rededication. Man of God, I just need to rededicate my heart back to God. I need my fire back. I need my passion for the things of God back. And as you're praying for others, include me in the prayer. I know I really need to get back on course. Would you just slip your hand up quickly all over the, I'm going to just pray for you right where you're seated. I see your hand, I'm not going to embarrass you or anything. That's another hand. Yes, yes. As I said, I see your hand, but heaven also sees it. You may put your hand down. My next appeal is to be, is the appeal for church membership. Yes, you need to be a part of a church. Don't let anybody tell you, I don't need to be in church. No, no, no. The Bible teaches that even Paul, when he went from one place to another, the Bible says he joined himself to the believers there. This is a good church. So you need to search no longer. If you're looking for a church, this is a good church. They'll love you. They'll care for you. They'll teach you how to use your faith and how to overcome in life. So if you're looking for a church home and you say, I just need that witness today, man of God, include me in the prayer so I'll know that this is the place where I need to be. Quickly slip your hand up all over the building. I'll see your hand, but more importantly, God sees it. Amen, amen, and amen. All right, you may put your hands down. I want to just thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to you, to share that with you. At the close of the service, they will give information how you can follow through. I just want to let you know, I want to pray for you as I pray as we get into this word for today. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this opportunity to share the word with these, your precious people. I thank you for those who raised their hands or had a witness of heart on those appeals today. Lord, be glorified. That is our prayer. I thank you, Father. You know us name by name and situation by situation. Therefore, it is with great confidence we believe you'll tailor this word for every individual. That is our prayer. So in advance, we give you alone the praise, the glory, the honor, and adoration for all that shall be accomplished, all that shall be revealed in Jesus' name. And the people said, and the people shouted, amen and amen. All right, those of you who have your Bibles, you may have a paper Bible. Any paper Bibles in the house? Been praying the paper Bibles? Okay, okay. Most of y'all probably got electronic Bibles. That's good, that's good. Amen. The Bible says this book of the law. But praise the Lord. Okay, okay. All right, now watch it. So I'm going to use a lot of scripture because I'm a teacher. If you want to take notes, we're going to be using the screen as well. So if you did not bring a Bible, many of the scriptures that I'll be using will be on the screen. Some of them I will quote, and some of them I will, I'll read all the way through. But I want this to be a great experience for you because I do not believe that you're here by chance. So whether you have a paper Bible or whether you have an electronic Bible, let's make this confession. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I'm a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen and amen. All right, now, Psalms 100, for those who've been in church any length of time, they already know this is a very familiar passage. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing. Now, I could go through the rest of the passage, but what I'm going to talk about today is serving the Lord with gladness. Everybody say gladness. Yeah, that's what we want to talk about. Serving the Lord with gladness. I grew up in church, but it was not until 1980 that I really got an understanding of serving the Lord with gladness. Everybody say gladness. Because it is so important that you really understand you are supposed to enjoy this journey with Jesus. Amen. That wasn't a good amen, but that's all right. We'll get better. And so, many times it's almost like we are serving God as a punishment or a payment for salvation. And that's the stronghold we have to get over, because the revelation that God gave me years ago, 1980, I'm in a little raggedy, rundown building. Y'all know I always show it. Why do I show it? Because God told me to show people where I came from. So if y'all put my little raggedy, rundown building up there, I'm there in a little raggedy, rundown building. And God says, I'm going to teach you how to trust me. I'm going to teach you how to live by faith. I told God, I don't want to learn. Let me go back to work. I'm a system analyst. I can make good money. He said, no, I'll teach you how to live by faith. Well, at that time, I was not a happy camper at all. I was not enjoying the journey. I had just come out of a church fight. And that is when God taught me the principle I'm about to teach you today. And so I understood then that I'm supposed to enjoy the ride. Now, I know people, you have all kind of things. They won't talk about this as suffering and all that kind of stuff. There are some struggles, but we overcome and we get to victory. But the whole preponderance of scripture shows us you're supposed to enjoy this. Okay, I got work to do today. Amen. Yeah, I see. Lord, I got some work to do today. Now, I enjoy this. Now, put the collage of buildings up there, because I was enjoying before all of this. Now, after 33 years of ministry, we accumulated about 500 acres of land, over 1 million square feet of church property, airplanes, jets, and all of that sort of thing. My daughter is the pastor now of the church, because God told me I'm in a whole nother season. But I'm just telling you, I've been enjoying it for a long time. So a lot of people say, oh yeah, I know you enjoyed it. I enjoyed it too. No. I've been enjoying it a long time. And as a result of the principle I'm going to share with you today, it is what has produced the manifestations that you're going to, that's possible for all. I've got 3 points, but I'm going to break it down to two. The way y'all lacking, I might not just do 1 point. First point is the message of serving God. The message of serving the Father. Now the Bible teaches us, we want to know what God has to say. We don't go to commentaries of celebrities and all that kind of stuff. We go to the Word of God. 2 Timothy tells us, chapter 3, verse 16, it lets us know that the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, that's the order of God, for reproof, that is the dismantling of error. Now, I want to pause right there, because a lot of error you have picked up, you picked it up in church. Because you thought the folk there had read the Bible, but they hadn't. So they were just passing down misinformation that they got from somebody else. But when I go to the Word of God, I dismantle error. Watch this. And for correction. Correction has to do with the exposure to truth. Now, this is the truth. And then for instruction. That's the systematic application of truth. That's what I'm about. I'm about showing you how to apply this so you get results. How many want results? Amen. And the Bible says, so the man of God may be perfect. That is, you reach a place of maturity. Amen and amen. So when we look at the scripture, we see this whole joy theme, gladness theme, happiness theme running on through the Bible. It's amazing how people won't preach that part, but I'm telling you, that's what we're going to focus in on today, that we're supposed to enjoy this ride. Amen. All right. Psalm 100, we just read it. Serve the Lord with gladness. Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Nehemiah 8 and 10 talks about the joy of the Lord is my strength. Psalms 37 and 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. You know, Colossians chapter 3, it says, whatever you do, do it excited and heartily unto the Lord. I'm just telling you, the Bible is filled with this whole attitude of we ought to be enjoying this. I was glad when they said unto me, I got some church folk in here. Let us go into the house of the Lord. A total different attitude than you see this in, displayed among most Christians. Most Christians just trying to hold on. After a while, by and by. And I'm not putting you down, because that's where I was when God gave me an understanding of seed faith. Everybody say seed faith. Now, here is the prophetic word of God. Now, God gave me the revelation of seed faith. That is, whatever I'm doing now in the kingdom, whatever I'm doing now in the kingdom, God's going to pay me back big time. Oh, y'all didn't get that. Y'all didn't get it. Y'all missed it. Whatever I am doing now in the kingdom, God has made a commitment to pay me back big time. How many know you get excited when it's close to payday? Oh, watch this. All right, watch this. Here's the prophetic word that God gave me a few days ago, but to give the body of Christ. And I'm going to walk through that, and then we're going to be explaining. Y'all put it up, put it on there. What the Lord told me. I've been sharing with our pastors, group and others. It is about seed faith consciousness. Everybody say seed. Faith, consciousness. All right, let's see it. Put it up there, all of it. We're going to read it. Amen and amen. All right, see, y'all taking some of my time being slow. Okay. Okay. I want to put the whole prophetic word up there. I got it highlighted. Okay, y'all going to have to listen. Huh? Well, okay. I can't wait because they got the clock over there in the corner on me. Listen, God told me, I got this several days ago. He said, tell my people to become more seed faith conscious in their living and serving. Many are serving, sowing, and sharing, and have accrued tremendous harvest, much of which has been left unclaimed. Admonish them to develop and maintain the seed faith mentality toward all they do for me and for others in my kingdom. Because I have set this principle of reward and return in the earth for the benefit of my covenant family. Never underestimate the power of your seed faith effort. The potential is established in heaven. So, get this now, petition me, the Lord says, and plead with me on the basis of your intentional, faithful seed faith efforts. And I will respond. My word declares so. Study this prophetic message And it will immediately change your perspective, and you will see the thread of this unique seed faith concept throughout my word in all dispensation. Step out in this truth in all that you do, and it will immediately impact your attitude. Share this with others, and it will ignite their faith. Look to me, look to me, look to me for your harvest, and not to others you serve. For I'm well able to secure and deliver your harvest right on time. So rejoice in this truth and be refreshed to know that your labor, past, present, and future is not in vain, saith the Lord. Okay. Now, whenever you get a prophetic word, you have to vet the word and you have to vet the prophet. You don't just know about, I'm a prophet and they're going to give you a word. No. I need the Bible teaches us that the prophetic word has to agree with the promises of God. It has to activates the power of God. It alerts the people of God and announces the plan of God. I have all of those points. They should have put them up here because I wanted you to get them, but I'm going to keep moving. Praise the Lord. All right, watch this. Now, I got to know something about the person who's giving me the prophetic word. I just can't let a pop, you know, what I call popcorn prophet, you know, pop up and try to, you know, and prophesy to me. I got to know something about you. Now, you better hear me. You got all people, all of them. All right, watch this. I got to know, they have to have the criteria of a proven character. They have to be consistently accurate. Ooh, they have to have a conviction concerning the people of God. So now, so listen, you know, I'm not a, oh, if I said it like that, y'all couldn't handle that. Yeah, I'm not a minor prophet. I got a proven track record. I hear God. Everybody said, look for the person next to you, and get one of them look like he say he hear God. Come on, do that. Come on. He said, you hear God. Yeah. Amen. I've been hearing God since I was 9 years old. And this month, I'm going to be 72. Yeah. I thank God I have an ear to hear God, have been accurate all these years. And so I want you to hear this word that God says, you need to have a seed faith consciousness. I'm not just talking about giving. Please understand me. Remember, I talked about effort. Everybody say effort. All right, now throughout the Bible, the Lord have, after I give a prophetic word, if God gives me a prophetic word, it's a word for me too, so then I go and study it. As you study this, you'll see this seed faith principle throughout the word of God in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22. Now we know it from the Amplified, but I want to show it to you from the New Living Translation. As long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest. In the King James is seed time and harvest. Everybody say seed, time, and harvest. All right. Now we know the giving scripture that we always use because God uses this word seed as a metaphor for a lot of things because he was teaching, when it was written or when it was expounded, it was to an agrarian society. So they understood agriculture. They understood the seed principle. So he used it as a metaphor to get them to understand. So there in 2 Corinthians, of course, chapter 9, we quote it all the time, but this I say, he who sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He who sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudging nor necessity, but God loves a cheerful giver. Now the whole point in this is he's using this seed word to emphasize a point. Because throughout the Bible, God lets us know he is going to reward us for our efforts. He's going to reward us for whatever we do in the kingdom. Now you got to hold on to that because many times you grow up in a culture and the stronghold that's put on you, don't you ask God for nothing. You ought to be happy you're saved, happy you're going to heaven. Bless, you know. But no. It's more than that. It's much more. Now, when I'm in a little raggedy building, my mindset was I'm going to be broke the rest of my life. That's why people say, you just serve the Lord for money. No, no, no. I thought I was going to be broke the rest of my life. Because listen, I wanted to go back in industry because I'm an assistant analyst. My skills were in demand. I couldn't make money. But now God, I got this little raggedy church and God said, I want you to be full time. Oh, y'all didn't understand that. Put my building back up. They don't appreciate it. Put the little raggedy building back up there. Put the building up there. Because, I'm a full-time pastor. I'm a full-time pastor. Got wife, babies, and mortgages. They're not working with me today. I can't get my building back up there. Okay, because I was going to take you inside so you could see what nobody there on Sundays. See, because you got them getting prayer. Oh, yeah, they must have been wall to wall. No, they wasn't. No, there wasn't nobody wall to wall. All right, but watch this now. So throughout the Bible, so what? Okay. All right, watch this. I'm finna really challenge. Can y'all take us inside the building, please? Ah! Come on, give a hand clap. All right. Oh, I got it. This is Sunday morning, y'all. That's Sunday morning. And I'm a full-time pastor. I'm not bivocational. That's all she wrote. But God taught me how to trust him. Now, I know your situation is probably not that dire, not that bad. But if God could do it for me, and bring me to the place of extreme prosperity, certainly he can do it for you. Amen, amen. Now, what I had to understand was Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive. Watch this. The same shall he receive of the Lord. Everybody say of the Lord. All right, y'all can move down and start putting my scriptures back up here. Now, here's the key. Here's the key. When I have a seed faith consciousness, that means whatever I do in the kingdom for others, I am not looking for the others to pay me back. See, and that's the thing. That's why a lot of people get all bent out and say, you know what I did for them? And they didn't do that. No. The seed faith conscious person understand God is taking records. And he is the one who promises to pay me back. So I'm okay if you walk out of my life. I'm okay if you walk out of my life. Because what I have done for you, I did it as unto the Lord. And I'm looking to God for my payback. Everybody say, I'm looking to God for my payback. Okay, I got, all right, so now, when you look in the scripture, you see the Bible uses the metaphor for seed as the word of God, the incorruptible seed. It uses the word seed for money when I sow into the kingdom of God. But what I want you to get to see today is that it uses it for intentional effort. Everybody say intentional effort. All right, the Bible says, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you will what? All right, watch this. Here's the key now. Here's the key. Now, we're not minimizing the money seed. Don't minimize that. But what I want to get you to see is God is taking notice of your service. He's taking notice of what you're doing in a volunteer effort. Okay, let me say this. Because well, what's the difference between a seed, intentional effort, and, you know, other things? If I'm getting paid for it right now, it's not a seed. Okay. No, if I'm getting paid for it, if I'm being compensated for it right now, that's not a seed. That's a job. So I had a pastor who left, or a guy who left our church. He started pastoring, and he was on our staff. And then he started saying, you know, I served, I sowed seed all the time. Talking about how he was serving us. I said, no, there ain't no seed. You got paid. And you got paid big time. That's not a seed. A seed is when I'm doing something for the kingdom, for the glory of God. They're not paying me a dime. They're not even refunding my gas money. But I have a seed faith consciousness that God is taking record and God's going to pay me back big time. All right, watch this, watch it. So in 1980, little raggedy building there, Lady B and I, we had a bus ministry. What'd I say? Lady B and I. Now, y'all remember bus. Some of y'all too young, but that was a season in the body of Christ where you'd have a big school bus and you go pick up kids come to church on Sunday. Well, we had a little raggedy church, and I'm the bus driver. I had no members, so I got to drive the bus. And so we didn't have any members, so she had to be the one to handle the kids while I was on the bus. Every Saturday, everybody say every Saturday. Every Saturday, we're out early knocking on doors. In fact, they thought at first we were Jehovah's Witnesses. Then they figured out we weren't. But we'd knock on doors, and we'd ask the parents, will you let us pick up your kids to come to Sunday school? Because they used to call my church Kiddyland because all I had was a bunch of kids. But we were faithful every Saturday. We're knocking on doors. Then Sunday morning, I got to get up early. And I'm getting up early on Sunday morning. And I'm driving a bus. And she's jumping out, knocking on. Come on, getting the kids and giving them donuts. And follow me. And then we all get to the church. Now, once we get to church, while she's getting all seated, now I got to put on the superintendent. I'm Sunday school superintendent. You got it. So I got to open a Sunday school. So now after I open a Sunday school, guess who the teacher is? I got to be the teacher, understand? I got to teach a lesson. After Sunday school, and I taught the lesson, we got to have 11 o'clock service. Who do you think is the preacher for today? Same guy who drove the bus, same guy who just... And so everybody say, why are you all working so hard? Because we were seed, faith, conscious. And we knew God would pay us back big time. The reason we could teach thousands and our church grew to 28,000 was because we were faithful. Y'all better hear me now. I'm going to preach myself happy. I don't care if y'all don't say amen. So what I'm telling you now, many of you have harvest unclaimed. Because you're not seed, faith, conscious. In fact, some of you are mad. You're angry because I did all of this and they ain't recognize me. They ain't put my name. Oh, you missed it. If you are seed, faith, conscious, you want more than name recognition. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. And so you realize that what God is trying to get you to see is he wants you to look past the temporal, how can I say like, let's look past everybody got to get paid. Some, you got to give me a dollar. I'm going to serve the Lord with gladness. My gladness comes because while I'm serving, I'm seed faith conscious. And God is going to pay me back big time. So, and that's another thing I get out of our minds, that God's cheap. God ain't cheap. You can't bankrupt God. Everything God does, he does on grand scale. He talks about giving it back in a running over measure. He talks about giving it back in a bounding measure. He talks about giving it back in more than enough measure. You got to get to the point where you understand God can afford to give me the best. What we've been able to do all these years is we've been able to understand that what we do it with seed faith consciousness. When we give with seed faith consciousness. You have to call my name. You don't have to call my name. Because really, I want more than you call my name and give me 2 or 3 seconds of, you know, of recognition. Of course, the seed is defined by its harvest. Okay. I know I got an orange seed because it produces an orange. Oh yeah, orange harvest. Yeah. So I understand something. A seed is pre-programmed to produce, reproduce after its kind. Right? So whatever I do is pre-programmed. When I give money, you know, years ago, a guy told me, he says, listen, there's a church in town that when they raise an offering, people clap. I said, man, you lying. Ain't nobody gonna clap on the offering. He said, I'm telling you, when they raise the offering, the people shout. I said, man, I got to see this. He takes me to Lakewood Church. I didn't go for one reason. See the offering. Now, I'm Baptist back then, so all that stuff they was doing, I was there for one reason. See the offering. And when Brother John said, it's offering time, everybody stood up, hollering, shouting. What's wrong with these people? Because I did not understand the offering moment. The cheerfulness was not about what they were giving away. The cheerfulness was in their expectation of receiving. And see, later I found out after I got revelation, the reason the offering moment is so powerful is because it is activating this return principle. So when I give, especially when I give my tithe, you know, he's going to open windows of heaven for me. That's ideas. I have floods of ideas why I'm a tither. That's my harvest. When I give an offering, God taught me this years ago. I'm in Lorraine, then God asked me for an offering of $10,000. Okay, y'all didn't miss it. Y'all missed it. Y'all understand? That's 1980. $10,000 is like $34,000 today. I mean, you know, like the brothers up here, you know, talking about, you know, the Lord tell, hold on. No, no. When the Lord asked me for that, I said, Lord, you know I ain't got that kind of money. He says, you can get it. Now, why? Because the principle was not going to work without my obedience. He had a tremendous harvest for me of favor, but it could not happen unless I was obedient. So I had to be resourceful to get it. Now, how was you resourceful? Lady B and I had our dream home. The Lord said, sell it and take for $10,000 of the equity and sow it in the kingdom. I ain't never heard nothing like that in my life. I ain't know nothing about John Osteen. I mean, nothing about Kenneth Copeland, Fred Price, none of them. I know about no prosperity people. None of them. I don't think I met John Osteen there. All I know, I heard God said, do something. And I did. Watch this. And favor exploded over my life. Now, what do you mean favor? Favor is the willingness of others to use their power, their ability, and their influence to help you. I prospered in a little raggedy building. Okay, y'all gave it joy. Y'all, see, what do you mean? I didn't say I barely got along. Lady B and I, we were rolling. Because see, God told me, you quit looking for the people. You work for me, he told me. And he told me, I can afford your dreams. I thought I had to have 300 members. He said, why you need them? You got me. He said, if you don't count the people, you won't be limited to the people you count. Amen. Now, so y'all won't throw a rock at me. Because anytime I get this testimony, by the way, you should have fixed that bill. You can't fix that thing. You have to move. You can't fix that, see? Because when I say, I bought Bridget her first BMW there, you should have fixed it. You can't fix it. I bought my first Mercedes there. It was favor like you wouldn't believe. Now watch this. Here's the point I want to make. See, I was living so large, Lady being out with the little raggedy building, with everybody calling my church Kitty Land. They said he got to be selling drugs. Yeah. There's no way he could. Have you passed by there on Sunday? Ain't nobody there. And they was right. Wasn't nobody there. But God will. Watch it, watch it, watch it, watch it. See, watch it. And what God told me, he said, who told you I just work on Sunday? I'd have people, I can't hardly tell this when I shout. I had days God said, now I want you to go walk in front of the building and pray. And I would, and cars would stop. People would turn in. You know, I grew up as a boy preacher, so I preach in all kinds of churches. Reverend Hilliard, is that your church? I said, yeah. It said, put this in for the offering. I received more money that day, than I would receive in 2 months in the church. Now, let me get to the other part of this, because I got to get to this other part, because they put the clock on. Now, God says, you have harvest left unclaimed. And that is because, here's the scripture. I want y'all to find if I can. Now, I'm not blaming them because I'm jumping all around on my notes. All right. But there in Isaiah 43, it said, put me in remembrance. Let's plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. God has said, he said, now, you tell them to petition me on the basis of their seed faith effort. Yeah. Uh-huh. All right, I'm going to pray now. So God says, let them come to me. You tell them to pray and just put me in remembrance of what they've done. That's how I get my harvest. That's how I release my faith. And many times we have served and we have volunteered and we have done a lot of things and we never go to God on the basis of it. We have to learn from Hezekiah. Hezekiah goes to God and says, God, don't you remember what I've done? We have to do like Nehemiah. Nehemiah says, God, the people have repented and you said if they repent, what you would do. Solomon, oh my God, Solomon says that on the basis of what you promised my father. Let me hold on right here because a lot of y'all had good Christian parents. Wave at me if your parents were saved. All right. Oh my God. You have what I call inheritance leverage with God. Huh? God, all of David's children, even when they messed up, God said, well, listen, I'm going to bless you because of David. I'm sitting up at ORU. I was on the board of directors there. I'm sitting up at the board of directors of ORU. And I'm there. I'm feeling pretty good. Copeland, Brother Copeland is there. Jerry Seville is over here. You know, Creflo is there. And who's who in the body of Christ there? And God says, now, you are here because of your mother's seed. Because my mother was a partner with Oral Roberts. So I'm feeling pretty good about myself. But he said, no. You're not here because of you. You're here because I'm honoring her seed. She used to be a partner. I would take the mail I don't know how mama did it, but every month she'd sow into Oral Roberts University. I'm saying you have unclaimed harvest because you've not gone to God on the basis of your mama and your grandmother. Your daddy, are you listening to me? This is going to affect your prayer life. Because you're not going to be praying, you know, well, Lord. No, you're going to God boldly. God, I learned. I have prayer leverage because of the seed faith principle. I'm just about through. Y'all been a good class. All right, watch this. 2016, my body was attacked. And we'd gone to the doctor. They couldn't figure it out. Even the specialist put his head in his hand. Shook his head. See, he needs operation, but I just don't know why. I said, hold on, doctor, you're supposed to do that with me in the room. Right. You're supposed to do that out in the hall with your colleagues. You don't be doing that in the room. Bridget Bowler still said, well, you're not I am. I got one more test. She said, no test, let's go. Now, on the way home now, watch this. Now, you understand, October 1st to the 19th. I had been every day. I mean, either the doctor's office or at the emergency room. I had this pain, and it was kicking my butt. Yeah. I mean, it's kicking my butt, y'all stand. I done prayed for people. They got healed miraculously, you know, and here I am struggling. You understand? But I'm still in faith because I know God's still my answer. And what I told that doctor that day, I said, what really matters has not changed. He said, huh? I said, God is still my healer. On the way home, get this, because see, I want this to change your prayer life. I want you to start going to God on the basis of what you've done. If Hezekiah could do it. I could call so many people in the Bible went to God on the basis. Y'all remember the widow who was in debt? She goes to the prophet and pulls out her husband's resume. She said, don't you know? My husband was faithful. What's she doing? She putting leverage. When they came to Jesus for the healing of the centurion's servant, they said, now Jesus, you need to help him. Why? He built us a synagogue. This is all through the Bible. I'm saying you got to go to God and put him in remembrance of your faithfulness. Put him in remembrance of your seed. So Lady B, on the way home, she's praying. She said, Lord, we've been too faithful. I mean, she put them in remembrance now in the car. I'm over there in pain. I ain't praying. I'm just in agreement. I ain't praying. I'm in nothing. Lord, we've been too faithful. Sowed too many seed. Helped too many people. God, you got to come through. Now, what God does, he inspires our mind. And so God inspired her mind and told her about a friend of hers who was a doctor. She calls the friend, and the friend says, oh, I know the best doctor for that. And she told him, but we already tried him. He's gone on vacation. And he said, and they say he's not taking any patients. She said, I'm going to meet him in the operational theater in just a moment. She goes in and she calls us in about 15 minutes, says he's canceling his vacation so he can see Bishop. I go to his office. They won't let me sit in the waiting room. They put me inside of, you know, his office there. And he walks in. He's one of the coolest doctors I've seen. I mean, he got a strut about him. And he walks in and he looks at me. He says, I got you on this. He said, I've read all of your reports. I've talked to all of the doctors you've been to. He says, I got you on this. I know exactly what to do. And he says, and I'm the best at it. You just pray for God to guide my hands and guide my team. And you're going to be better than ever. Oh, my God. Here's the point. When you put pressure based on the seed faith principle, it don't take long. I don't think y'all got to hear that. Y'all didn't hear that. No. Hezekiah, when he pleaded with God on the basis of the seed faith principle, God, you know I've been faithful. Before the prophet could get out the door, God said, turn around. Some of you have been praying and you haven't gotten an answer. I'm telling you now, go to God. Remind him of the faithfulness of your parents. Remind them of your faithfulness. And let's watch God work. Quick story is told of the farmer. His young boys were getting ready, were going out to gather the harvest. The little kid, it was his first time. He's going with his big brothers. And so they go out. And this is before they had all the combines and they had to hand pick everything. And then they have to sort out the undeveloped corn, the regular corn, and then the plump corn. So after that day's work, they go home. And the little kid is thinking, oh, I know we're going to have some good corn tonight because we hand picked that good corn. So to sit down at the table, it was regular. So his daddy looked at him and said, son, is that a problem? He said, well, Daddy, surely I thought after us going all day and I know we had better corn than this. I thought, well, maybe you're saving it for another meal. He said, no, son, that's not what you do. He said, you always take the best corn and you use it for seed the next time. And when you do, your harvest gets better and better and better. I close with this. That is what God does. When God got ready to get a harvest, oh my God, he gets his best seed. Jesus is his best seed. Are you listening to me? Now, when did he give his best seed? On a hill far away. On an old rugged cross. Are y'all listening to me? I'm saying what we have to learn to do as we serve God with gladness, as we give gladly, what we want to do is always give him your best. Father, I thank you this word has fallen on good ground and it produces fruit. Did y'all get blessed today? My other assignment I want to do, and we can do it quickly. It is anointing on my life. I want to give you an opportunity to tap into the favor of God. Everybody say radical favor. That's what I heard God say. Radical favor. Now, this is a gift that's on my life. Radical favor. And this radical favor within the next 140 days. I'm talking before the end of the year. Radical favor. What do you mean? God raising up somebody to help you out of a difficult situation or help you to do something that you haven't done before. Now we're going to do this intentionally because we are going to, I want you to hold that one. Hold on. Hold that one. That was a good one, but I don't want to go there. That's a good one. That was good. And listen, here's what you do. Cause I want you to understand. This is how God used me. The brother got up and said it earlier, but here's what I want you to do. How many need somebody to help them? How many need radical favor with a bank, with closing of the house, your career, money to be released? How many of you need that, all right? Now, that's a promise in the Word of God. I ain't making it up. He says, if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. Then he says, every man comes first, I'll so let him give. And he says, God is able to make grace abound. Make grace abound towards you. So here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to commit to do a $200 seed. If I say $200. Now for some of you, $200 is so easy, you're ready to write a check. Now, you need to stretch it up to three. For some of you, you say, I wish I had it because I do need the favor. Then you may have to bump yours down today to $100. Or even to $52. But I want you, if you need favor, listen at this man of God. I don't have to do this because Pastor always take good care of me. I don't have to raise the offering so we can go in the back and then say, how much are we raising? Now, I ain't got to do that. I don't have to do that. I don't do that because I'm already blessed. But this is the anointing on my life. Now, I am also in faith. God told me to believe for five people to do $1,000. Five people to do one thing. I only need four because I'm going to be one. Now, it always exceeds whatever God says. But we're going to believe for favor. What is that? That God shows us and he takes us in the company of the people we need to know and the knowledge of the things we need to know that are critical for our success in life. And he's going to do it within the next 140 days. See, my wife knows how accurate I am. She says, I receive it. See, she knows I don't play. So I'm saying, if you believe this man of God, I'm going to have them come and tell you how to give, that sort of thing. But I set my faith in agreement with you for God to direct you to where your favor is. And he connects you with the assigned person or persons for your favor. And he's going to do it before the end of the year. Before the end of the year. Now, I need my catalyst. Those of you who can be, and this is going to encourage others. He said, yes. And now you may be watching them. Boy, you're watching. Listen, I have seen God do so many things with people who watch, who are a part of it. You can say, but here in the auditorium, you say, listen, I can be one of the ones who can do 1,000. Would you just slip your hand up real quickly? I can be one who can do 1,000. Yeah, this is my catalyst. Catalyst jump starts. Amen. That brother jumped up. I appreciate you, man. Oh my God. Watch this. Look at this. Come on. Can we celebrate? That's one. That's two. That's three. That's four. Wave at me. Five, six, seven, eight. Okay, nine. Huh? I thought that was nine. Ten. All right, praise the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. All right. Huh? Did somebody else do it? 11. Amen, amen, amen. Anytime God is always tells me to do that, it's always more. It's always more. Thank you for obeying God, and thank you for being a catalyst for allowing others to jumpstart their belief. So if you say, I really want to do the two, but I don't have it, put it in your heart. And then watch this. Watch God put it in your hands. If you put it in your heart. Now, it's going to this church. This is not an offering for me to be used any way Pastor Evan wants to. But I just value this moment, and let's obey God. Amen. Who's my turn? Turn it over to? All right. So come and give them directions on what to do. So when you go over the time, they'll blame you. Come on, y'all, give it up for the.